Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Youth. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Richard Villanueva brings forth the Word of God.
Came ready. I don't know why I'm talking like that. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking ready to do this. Do I really? Dang, I just noticed. Thank you. Well, I kind of like it. Maybe I'll keep on talking like that then. All right, today we're getting to the Word. You guys ready to get in the Word? You guys got your Bibles? I know you got your Bibles. You got your Bibles? You got your Bibles? You got your Bibles? Who does not have a Bible? Let me see your hands. No shame, no shame. Okay, yeah, there is shame. I know you guys should feel bad. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. If you really need a Bible, you should get an SBT, man. If you never had an SBT, then you need to hook it up with one of our SBTs. They'll get you guys going. They want to talk to you. They want to get you a Bible, a free, fresh, nice Bible. Has little notes in it, tell you what everything means. Who does not understand? Let's be real. Who does not understand their Bible in here? Who has ever read the Bible and said, what? Thank you. Honesty in the house. Who wants to know what that what means? Thank you. Who here wants to understand their Bible? Because if you don't, I can't help you. I can't help you. If you don't want to, but if you really do, then you know what? If you've never had an SBT, if you're new in the faith, you need to get an SBT. Pastor Richard, I don't know how to. We got this metal desk out in the front. You go say, you find somebody at the metal desk and say, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And then Sal will say, I'm not the Lord, but I can help you. Or Letty or whoever else, Robin, somebody up in there, because they want to talk to you guys. They want to tell you what the what means, and they want to get you a Bible, and they want to hook you up with some understanding, because it can be confusing. That's why we go to church, to make the confusing parts unconfusing. So today, we're getting the Word. We're going to wrap up our series, a week in the day of a boy, of a man, of a kid named Stuart. Yeah, he's so cute, little Stewie right there, looking all proper. We can love a boy named Stuart. We're going to wrap this thing up because next week we're going to have some fun. We're going to get this weekend, we're going to have a blast. We're going to have a lot of really good things coming up because this church is getting ready to make some waves, to get some things done, because it is time to change somebody's life. So you guys got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 25th chapter. Let's pray. So, Father God, Lord, we thank you today for your Word. We thank you for this book. God, we ask, Lord, that you would make this book mean something to us. God, we pray that it would not just be paper and ink, red and black letters. God, it needs to be more than that. And God, we know it is more than that. So today, God, I pray that you would cause it to become life to us. God, that it would change us from the inside to the outside. That it would change the way we act. God, that it would change the way we think. Because, God, we're not satisfied with just being nice people. Anybody can be nice, but God, we want to change the world. So Father, we ask today, Lord, that you would get in us so we could get in you. Father God, make the confusing places make sense to us. And Lord, show us what this has to do with our life tomorrow and today and tonight on the ride home. And when we wake up in the morning and when we eat our Wheaties, God, because we need to know exactly what it is that you have in store for us. So Lord, help us to know you. Help us to know you so we can know who we are. And we can know what we're supposed to do with that. And so, God, today I pray these things. And, Father, together, as we always do, we don't just pray for this youth ministry, but, God, we pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire, whether it's The Way, whether it's Emmanuel Baptist, San Bernardino Community, Lord God, whether it's Abundant Living, Lord God, Wildwood. Father, if they're talking about you, God, we recognize them as co-laborers, as brothers and sisters. And we ask you to bless them, those that talk about you and get into this Word just as we do today. God, bless them just as you've blessed us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Now, I know you're in Matthew, but I'm gonna read a verse from First Peter. I don't want you to turn there just yet because we've already talked about it, but it says, as each one has received a gift, minister that gift to one another as good stewards. There's that S word. Stewards of the manifold. That just means a whole bunch, a grip, a lot, a gaggle, a google, a manifold grace of God. If anybody speaks, well, then let him speak. If it'll be ministers, well, then let him do it with the ability that God's given him, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Steward, we're talking about being a steward. You are, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to be or not, whether you're a Christian or whether you're an atheist, you are a steward, because the truth is the truth no matter who you are and what you believe. And the truth is this, is that God's given you something to do. The Bible says that God's told some people that they're supposed to say things. God's told other people they're supposed to help other people with. And what he says is, if God's given you something to say, then you need to say it. If God's told you to do something, you need to do it. If God's given you money, you need to not spend it, but use it wisely. If God's given you this year, if God's given you 10th grade, then you need to make sure you do 10th grade right. If God's given you a college in your future, you need to make sure you do that right too, because everything we have today is because God gave it to us. Rewind your life about 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years when you were like 5 minutes old. Now picture yourself. You're nasty. You're naked. You're too loud. You're all slimy and And you got nothing. You got nothing. You can't do anything. The only thing you can do is poop on yourself, and that's dirty. You can't even wipe your own butt because you don't even know what your fingers are. You got nothing. And everything you have today is because God's given it to you and me. See, we serve a very generous God, a God that has given us everything that we have. And maybe you don't have a lot, but you do got something. And what God's given us, God expects us to use, because I'll tell you this, everything you have in your life, one day you're gonna die. And you're gonna be in the ground, and you may be wearing a suit, but you're not taking that suit or that dress or those pearls or those earrings or that gold tooth you got. You're not taking that to eternity. It's staying in the box. We come in naked, we leave naked. Kind of gross. Don't think about that too much. But that's the way it is. You see, because everything God's given us, God wants it back. I mean, and I'm kind of reviewing here. If you heard this, just write notes. Like you're saying, yes, Pastor Richard, I get it. See, God gave you something to do something to give it back to him. And that's what it means to be a steward. Said it last week. Said it 2 weeks ago. It's like babysitting. You go to the house. The parents give you two children. They go to the movies. When they come back, what do they want? They want two children back. If you give them one child back, you will have problems. If you give them back two children back with holes in the wall, a dog that's been painted red, and kids running around doing cartwheels on a sugar high, you will have a problem because you are a bad steward. They want their kids back in one piece, sleeping. And that's the same thing. God gave you this life. He left you with what you have, whatever it is that you have. And when it's all said and done, he's going to want it back and say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did I do with those 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110 years that I gave you? What did you do with it? Because it's time for you to give it back to me. See, that's what a steward is. Because you don't own anything in your life. The Bible even tells us that your life doesn't even belong to you, but that it was purchased with a price. Can you believe that? And that's the way, the Bible says that you are a steward of the manifold grace of God. And that's what you need to do. Now, the past couple weeks, we've been following the life of a little old boy, Stuart, a kid named Stuart. And I don't know what exactly going on in his life, but in the beginning, he said, gosh, what am I supposed to do? Life is weird. And then he meets this crazy old lady, and this crazy old lady gives him a cob of corn, and she says, you can count the kernels on the corn, but you can't count the corn in the kernels. Does anybody know what that means? Does anybody not know what that means? Oh, okay, I'm waiting for today to tell you what that means. Ooh. Anyway, so he's walking around and he meets a crazy guy named Lyle, and Lyle says, you can plant that corn in my farm. And it's kind of weird too. And then all of a sudden something happened last week, and I was like, oh, so let's go ahead and do this. Instead of me talking, how about you watch it? Let's just, audio visual team, roll it. A week.
Stu, there's been an accident at the farm.
What do you mean, my crops?
Get in the car, Stu.
Lyle, where are your shoes?
I smell smoke. At first, I thought someone was having a barbecue. I ran downstairs and I said, oh my goodness, it is a fire. Smoke was bad. I could have got bronchitis. I didn't have time to grab my shoes or nothing.
There's something about seeing all of your hard work, months of hard work, just go up in flames. I slept in the car with Lyle until morning, and we woke up to the most unusual thing.
Lyle, get up!
What?
What is it?
It looks like the heat from the fire gone and turned your corn into popcorn. Yeah, go ahead and try it.
It's actually sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's because that sugar cane field over there done gone and burnt down, too. Got all the sugar all over the corn.
You know what, though? I think we're onto something. 6 months ago, I didn't know why I existed. I had no purpose, and I thought there was no special destiny for my life. My crop of corns that I worked so hard on for was burned in a fire, but God turned that around. I've even opened up my own business. Organic kettle corn made from real cane sugar. I recently gave Becky a job with twice the pay as the milkshake joint. I'm even able to still donate popcorn to the food distribution center at church. And since I'm making tons of profit, I've been able to donate more than I ever thought I could to help pay off our church. I realize now that I have purpose. I have a destiny. I'm using what God has given me. Although the unexpected happened to my crops, God will always provide seeds to plant. With hard work and dedication to the seeds, there will always be a harvest. Because you can count the kernels on the corn, but you can't count the corn in the kernels.
What? Doesn't that make total sense? Kettle corn, the sugar cane, the corn stalks, the fire. Kettle corn. That makes total sense. Anyway, whatever. All right. See, here's the moral of the story is you have Stewie here, and he's no idea what he is, and God brings about him the strangest thing in the world. But even the smallest gift can bring the greatest rewards if used rightly. If used well and wisely, then his one single ear of corn turned into a whole field of corn. A field of corn turned into more corn that he was able to give out at a food distribution center. And then even when the worst happened, the fire came, the corn turned into popcorn, and it smelled like popcorn. And they were able to bag it and sell it and make, yes, kettle corn, as well as through that one thing, Becky was able to get a job. They were able to bless people. I mean, look, man, you can't deny that. That's pretty amazing. Anyway, whatever. But here's what it means. You can count the kernels on the corn, but you can't count the corn in the kernel. See, you could, if you had an ear of corn, you could literally count every kernel on that corn. 1, 2, 3. You could go through and count every kernel. But what you can't count is how many ears of corn you'll get from every one of those kernels. I mean, my wife and I, we just started planting corn in our, I don't know, I swear I must be living on a farm now. I got chickens, I got a dog, I got corn, I got pumpkins. I have two chickens. And they don't lay eggs worth, anyway, whatever. This is not my time to vent. But if you were to take every one of those kernels, you have no idea how many stalks and how many ears of corn will grow from each of those kernels, because one kernel plants a stalk of corn, you get several ears of corn from that, and you were to take those ears of corn, and then you were to take some of the kernels from that, and you were to plant more, and all of a sudden, you have a livelihood. Because of one seed, you have enough blessing to bless yourself as well as others, as well as take care of you for the rest of your life. You can count the kernels on the corn, but you can't count the number of corn that can come from a single kernel planted in the right soil, taken care of to minister to other people. See, that's what it means. That's what a steward does. See, a consumer will take corn and they will eat it. And then in about 4 to 8 hours, they'll get rid of it, never to be eaten again. But a steward will take that corn and will cause that corn to become more corn. Some they can eat, some they can plant, and some they can give. It's a steward. The difference between a steward and a consumer. All our lives, we've been taught to be a consumer. Your parents give you $10, you go to the movies. You don't have $10 anymore. That's what we're taught. I just need enough money to buy more stuff. But you see, we need to change the way we think to where, no. I get to have money so I can bless others, so I can change lives. It's not so I can just buy stuff and waste it, but so I can do something with it. You know, Pastor Deborah was sharing a quote this past week in our staff meeting, and she shared it on Sunday morning, and it blew my mind. You see, a lot of times we ask ourselves, how much money should I give God? How much of my money should I give God? When the real question is, how much of God's money should I keep for myself? I heard that and I thought, oh my gosh, it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. See, if everything I have was first given to me by God, it's not my money to give to God in the first place. It's God's money for me to do something meaningful with. I'm not saying you can't buy yourself a nice pair of shoes, but when that's all the money is good for, is buying a pair of shoes, then I think we've missed it. See, that's what this whole past few weeks, this is what it's about. Matthew 25, it tells a story about the talents. I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but it just so fits. In Matthew 25, verse 14, it tells a story of, well, let me do this. Instead of me just reading it from, let me put it this way. I need three people. I need three stewards. Okay, I'll get you two since you guys so enthusiastically put your hand. Yes, you come on up here too. All right, okay, my three stewards, get up here real quick. Okay, I have three stewards. You guys can stand up here on the stage. Steward one, two, and three. All my stewies here, please, you can be number two. Yes, you'll be number two. Guppy, you'll be number three, and you will be number one. Okay, boom, 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 my stewards, bam! In all their glory, let's give it up for the stewards. Bam. And all of a sudden, you could read along with me if you want, but in Matthew 25, it says, there was a master. There was a master who was getting ready to go on a long trip, and he couldn't just go on a long trip because they didn't have email back then or Skype, or they didn't have text messaging. You know, he just couldn't leave and check in on the gang in between brunch and lunch. He had to leave people in charge of his wealth, in charge of his business. So he had his servants, his slaves, his people, his under employees, whatever. Okay, he had them. So he called these three together, and the Bible says this, as he said, I'm going away. I don't know when I'll be back. I got a slow horse, but I'll be back. He says, so I have some money I need to give you. I need you guys to oversee what I have. So here's what I'm going to do. According to each of your ability, got that? According to each of your abilities, I will give you what he did. He said, to you, my friend, I will give one talent. To you, my friend, I will give two talents. And you, my friend, I will give two, three, five talents. Okay. Now. But see, this is a visual here. But it doesn't really. Don't mismanage them. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, good. Yes. Okay. So, but see, this doesn't really picture, because see, this is what we don't understand. A talent wasn't really. It's not like playing the drums, which you do well. It's not like singing. A talent was a weight. It was a measure of weight. And they say it was about 75 pounds, about 75 pounds of something. Now, this man was wealthy. I don't know. My assumption is this. My assumption is this. It was probably some type of precious silver or some type of precious gold or something, because the man's wealthy. I mean, this is what they would exchange. So let's figure. Let's put a safe assumption that it was 75 pounds of gold for every talent. So this is a representative of 75 pounds. Does anybody weigh 75 pounds in here? Or how about 150? Who weighs 150? Are you 150 in the back? All right, get up here. Right around-ish. No, you know what? Wait. No. Roman, you 150? Get up here. I want to see what 150 pounds looks like. All right, I'm 140, so if you're one, I'm going to do all right then. I could gain 10 more pounds. All right, that's some more McDonald's and soda. Cool. All right, so anyway, so let's just say, stay right there. Let's just say that would be like having two talents. Mr. Guppy is like a solid gold Roman. Look good. Look good. You'd be gold, brother. Oh, man, maybe I should have chose you. Okay, imagine a golden statue of Roman, 150 massive pounds of pure gold. You are two talents, brother. That is a lot of good looking. Okay, so you would have half a Roman. You would have an entire Roman. And you, I'm not going to try that. You would have 2.5 Romans of gold, a talent, a Roman of gold, if you will. Okay, so all of a sudden you would have that here. Now, if you were to take gold prices today, one talent of gold would be the equivalent of $1.5 million. $1 million. Nice. So that means the master gave you $1.5 million to do something with. He gave you $3 million, and he gave you $3.5 million, right? Yeah. Oh, no, $7.5 million. That's right. This is why I preach, because I don't do math well. I can deal with the words, not the numbers. I got this stuff right, and that's pretty darn good. So be quiet. Okay, you had $7.5 million? Oh, my gosh. That's 375 pounds. 375 pounds of Roman. You better take it. Better run faster. All right. So all of a sudden, the Bible tells us this, is that there they are. There, and the master leaves. He goes on his journey, gets on his little burro, and he rides away into the sunset. And in the meantime, he says, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what they're doing. Where are they going? How is this gonna work? He starts to think, oh. Millions. How much can they make me? Will they start a donut shop? Make me more? Maybe they'll start not a Blockbuster. No, maybe they'll start a Redbox machine and make me more money. What could they do? I'm so excited thinking about all the money they'll make me. He says, surely at least they'll make me a little something. And he finally rides back in one fateful day, I'm sure on a rainy day. Now imagine this. He comes and says, servants, come. Come one, come all. Let us find out what has happened. They roll it in. All of a sudden, they get the scales out because they want to find out how many talents there are. Because you got to weigh this stuff, right? They get the talents out. His accountant rolls up in his Rolls Royce. Gets out his calculator. One of those things with the paper that goes. All of a sudden, the servants roll up, and what happens? All of a sudden, he sees servant number three. Boom! And he rolls up. He rolls up with 375 pounds of gold. You looking good? 375 pounds of gold. Bam. 2.5 Romans of gold. How does that look again? That's right. Yeah, think on your toes. Okay. So all of a sudden, he says, "No, wait a minute." 375 pounds, 750 pounds, that's right, 5 Romans, right there. They put him on the scales, and he's like, oh, dang, $15 million? Good Lord, that's a lot of money. What'd you do, Guppy? What'd you do? Three? You had a full Roman? So I doubled it, 2 Romans. Two Roman Romans.
$6 million!
What did you do? What did you do? 75 pounds. $1.5 million. She says, I buried it. I was scared. How are you going to bury $1.5 million? Seriously?
What? How? You're going to bury one? You didn't even like buy Apple stock or anything like that because you could do with that kind of money. Dang. Says, here's your money back. She says, here's your money back. Literally what she's saying is, I'm not responsible for this anymore. It's yours. I'm so scared of you. I thought you'd be mean to me. I thought you'd call me names. My money back. What? Can't even buy a house. I'd buy a nice house too. Hope the stock market goes. The real estate market goes up. Bubble didn't burst back then. Just 2008. Oh man. Anyway, and she says, I didn't want to get in trouble, so I didn't do nothing with it. Gives over that gold, and it's all dirty and nasty and muddy. It's like, I'm not gonna put this on my scales so muddy. Says, you know what? Get out of my face. He says, you know what? I'm gonna take your 1.5, I'm gonna give it to him. Because he's gonna make me 3. Man. Now, you guys grab a seat. I'm done yelling at you. Let's give our stewards a big round of applause. Stack it up, stack it nice. See, here's the thing is the whole setup was, that's all right, you guys take your time, don't worry. The whole setup is this, it's all based on expectation. All based on expectation. Because you think, okay, if I babysit and I give the kids back clean and alive, that must be good. But if I babysit and I give them back 3 kids when they only had 2, I might get in trouble for that one too. Like, so what's the problem? He didn't lose anything, right? It's all expectation. All expectation. What are God's expectations of you? Because if you don't know what God's expecting of you, how can you even plan on doing what's right? See, in that story, you find out what God's expectations are of you to be a steward. See, he gave them huge amounts of money to do something with. Now, if he gave them money just to get it back, he could have just gone to they had banks back then. He could have just rolled up to the teller and said, ting, 1.5 million, I'll be back. He could have done that, and it would have been fine. So he wasn't looking for people to hold his money. He was looking for people to do something with his money. Now, if Jesus is telling us a story, then it must mean something more than just $1.5 million, 75 pounds, one half Roman of gold, okay? I mean, who wouldn't want a Roman statue of gold? I mean, really. But it means more than that. You see, it's a picture of God in us. Because God is, you're a steward and God's given you something. I think we know that by now. But what does God want you to do with it? See, what are God's expectations? See, God's expectation is growth. When in Matthew, he says he came back to settle accounts. To settle accounts. See, these men that he had, they knew what their job was. They knew who their, even the man who was in trouble, the one who buried it, said, I knew you were a hard man. I knew what you were looking for. I knew you wanted to see growth. I knew, but I was scared. I knew what you wanted, but I was scared. I was scared. See, he knew exactly what his master wanted. And today you can know, God wants you, whatever God's given you, God wants you to grow it. God wants you to do, God doesn't want you to sit on it. God wants you to do something with it. So what has God given you? What allowance have you gotten? What natural talent, what ability? I mean, if you play football, then play football for God. If you have friends, man, you treat your friends in a godly way. If you have a family, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, an auntie, an uncle, a little brother, a little cousin, then what are you doing with that relationship? Because God wants you to grow it. He doesn't want you to leave it off the side. I can't wait to move out of this house. I can't wait to get out of school. Just, I only got 2 more weeks left. Come on, I'm going to ditch it. I'm going to ditch it till it's over. No. You're burying it. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want his goods buried. I mean, seriously. What would happen at your birthday party? You open up all your presents. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Where's the shovel? The sweater is perfect. Hold on a minute. I'll keep it there until I'm ready to wear it again. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Bury a sweater. You can't get some of those stains out. So why would you bury, misuse, abuse a gift that God's given you? That'd be preposterous to do that with a present you get for your birthday. Why would we do that naturally? Because we do it all the time. Because we're afraid to fail. Because we become a consumer instead of a steward. Because we spend it instead of investing it. Because we're lazy. God, I can't help pay this church off. I don't got no money. Excuse me? Good Lord gave you a strong back. To mow some lawns. Give you a strong set of legs to go sell some newspapers. Good Lord gave you a good working set of vocal cords to sing for some quinceañeras. Good Lord gave you a good working brain to help some people study and tutor. Because they pay good money for a good tutor. And you have summer to learn the stuff so you can teach the little. Look, when I was in ninth grade, I helped sixth graders read. Because they couldn't read very well. That's what I did. Because I knew how to read. You know how to read? Hey! Sounds like you can be a steward. Sounds like somebody has a talent. Do it. No excuse. And you know what? The crazy thing is, that's not just for paying off the church. That's for paying your bills. You want a nicer phone? Buy your own phone. This is business. This is stewarding. Because you can't bless anybody if you aren't blessed in the first place. Right? I mean, look, I think everybody in this room wants to help somebody. Everybody in this room wants to help somebody because you know somebody that needs help. So get up, work hard, use what God's given you, and do something about it so you can help somebody. Because that's what this church is doing. We live in one of the lowest income places in the entire United States. Of all metropolitan areas, our people are the second to worst in the amount of money they make every year. Look, the San Bernardino Inland Empire area is the armpit of California. San Bernardino is one of the top, is one of the top 10, is one of the only few cities in the entire United States to declare bankruptcy. But you know what? Every year, this church gives out 7 million pounds of food, 500,000 people. This church gives food to 60 other churches. This church gives to places that are richer than us, more wealthy than us. Look, our church has helped build other churches. Because we've never said we are too poor to give. We've said we are just right enough. We are strong enough to help those who are weaker than us. This church is here because somebody said, I'm not afraid to work. I'm not afraid to say I got nothing, but the nothing I do have, God can make something out of it, because that's how God started everything. In the beginning, there was nothing, and then God said something, and there was something. If you're a Christian and you got nothing, all you got to do is say, God, I need you to tell me I got something. And if God tells you got something more than you had before. I'm sick and tired of this, man. And this punk here says, I wish, he had 1.5 million, what? You know what a brother could do with $1.5 million? That's a lot of pair of shoes. That's a lot of church. That's a lot of groceries. That's at least one tuition for college, way things are going. Look, he had no excuse. And I'm going to tell you this, you have no excuse either. You have no, Pastor Richard has no excuse to do nothing. But I'm preaching too long, so I'm going to shut up because I have one more point to get to. That was an exciting one, though. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 and 11. Put it up there. This is, if you got a pen and a Bible, underline this. If it's on your phone, then push one of those buttons and make it yellow. Okay, 2 Thessalonians, I'm not going to turn there. It says, even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anybody will not work, neither shall he eat. Dang! For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but busybodies. Look, people, sometimes the people who talk the most are the people who aren't working. That's why I got no time for my haters. I just threw that one in there. Look, you're working hard, there's no time to pay attention to what other people say. There's no time to talk smack or mess. Because I'm too busy. I'm too busy on the grind. I am too busy making things happen to talk about people who aren't making things happen. And if you've been doing a lot of talking lately, maybe it's time to shut your mouth and begin doing something. If you find yourself saying, man, my life sucks. I hate my life. Things never work out for me. Maybe you need to shut up and make things work. Because your body can only expend so much energy. And sometimes if we keep all of our energy in this area right here, there's no energy for this area right here, or this area right here, or this area right here. Those are all your major muscle groups. Maybe you need to put the effort somewhere else and get to it. See, God expects work. God expects effort. Said it a million times, I'll say it a million more times. Anything easy you don't want. Anything that you want, it's going to be hard. It's going to take work. So if it's hard, that's not God's will, that it's not supposed to be yours. No, it's God's will that you buck up, put on your big boy chonies, and get to work. Because the things that you want in life, you're going to have to work and fight and grasp and get your hands dirty for. Show me one person in the Bible. Show me one person in the Bible that got everything they prayed for because they just sat in bed on their pillow with their eyes closed saying, Lord, bless me. Lord, I just pray. No. They prayed and then they got and they made their prayers happen. Because they were in the right position to do it. 1 Timothy 5, you don't even got to turn there. It says, if a man doesn't provide for his own family, he is worse than an unbeliever. He is worse than someone going to hell. What does God expect? See, the man said, I came to settle accounts. The man who buried it said, I knew you were gonna ask for this, but I didn't do it anyway. Dang. And then he expects all the glory. See, that man who said, here, take it. He said, I knew you were hard. I knew you were gonna be mean to me. He said, I'm a victim. Why me? Why me? Me, why, me. See? It's not about you, it's about God. When you make it about God, then God begins to get you in on the goods. See, the men, the people, the women, whoever it was that said, I doubled it. I doubled it so I could have more money. That wasn't their money. They doubled it for him. They doubled it for their master. Seriously? They didn't get to keep it. Because the guy who buried it, the master gave it to the one who doubled it. Wow. Interesting. Ooh. See, when it wasn't about them, it was about somebody else. Something happened. And then they got rewarded. Interesting. See, the Bible says God doesn't share his glory with anybody. If this is about you and fame and pride, and I want people to look at me and do this and that. Look, man, I'm going to tell you this. It's not going to work. Because the two things God expects from your life is that what he's given you, he expects you to grow it, to do something with it. And then he expects you to give him all the glory, the praise, the honor. That's what God expects. Those two things. If this story means anything, that's what this story means. It means God expects you to use what he, because God's given you a lot. And when you use it the way you're supposed to, he'll give you more. And when you use it and you say, you know what, God, thank you. You gave it to me, I'm going to give it back to you. God, this is about you. When you do that, then miracles happen. Then something good happens. Then he blesses you. Because that's what God expects. That's what God expects. Being faithful doesn't mean that you give it back in the same condition. Being faithful means you did something good with it that grew it. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 1:29 says, no flesh will glory in God's presence. And that's what it's about. See, a steward, somebody who knows it, what the expectations are of his master, of the one who owns it. What do you want? I'll give it to you. What does God want? God wants you to grow it. God wants you to give him the glory. You do that, you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You guys got anything from God today? Give him praise. All right. This weekend, if this is your church, then this weekend we're doing our commitment. The church owes $13 million, which is nothing. That's, if you ever watched Deadliest Catch, that's how much that boat is worth. That nasty, trashy old cruddy boat, $13 million. This church does a lot more than catch fish. This church owes $13 million. We've had about 80 people put pledges in already. We've already got $2 million pledged. We're already on our way. So what can you do? This weekend, we're making a commitment. If we have those cards, go ahead and pass them out. I don't know if we have those cards, but if we do, go ahead and pass them out. And if you're going to be here this weekend, you guys can make a commitment. Now, whether it's, look, I know you guys, most of us in this room don't have jobs. But what do you do have? What do you have? So if you gave up a soda a week, it's a dollar. One soda a week. Then you could do $4 a month. That's about almost $50 a year. That's 150 bucks. That's not too shabby. 150 bucks a year? 150 bucks over 3 years. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to take 3 years, pay this darn building off because we're giving too much money to a man in a bank who doesn't care about helping people. And as a church, we're going to be good stewards because we got to give this church back to God one day. If you can do a little bit more than that, well, then you can do a little bit more. If you guys have that picture, go ahead and put that picture up there. Look, if you can...
We want to thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.